a general opening to everyone. Shabbat Shalom, happy to be here with you. The source is, in a way, a thought that, in a way, sink itself, its consciousness, or different names, different words. But this is, in a way, expanding thought in space and time. This is what divinity is. And has infinite ways to manifest itself. Let's say, here participate. Here we are participating, few people, and they have names. Yes, and when there's a thinking happening, which is all the time, so ongoing, it never stops. Fernando thinks, I'm thinking. Cindy thinks, I'm thinking. Abigail thinks, I'm thinking. Jill thinks, I'm thinking, and so on. But this is how it is. We learned, or we were tamed, to believe that we are the thinkers. And we have names and bodies and addresses, and we are, in a way, different ways in which divinity manifests itself. And divinity, or the source, is a thought, in a way, that expands itself all the time. Therefore we have like different life forms or different manifestations and so. We associate, or we say, as Jill says, I'm thinking. Fernando thinks to himself, I'm thinking. It is just, this is how divinity expands. If divinity wants to expand and to manifest a song, someone will pull a guitar or piano and Cindy will approach the piano and play. It is divinity that moves through body-mind called Cindy. She approaches the piano and she plays a song, and maybe she records it. So people say, it's very common now, people speak about copyright and this is nonsense and so. But this is how it comes from the divinities, and divinity, in a way, chooses its roads and ways and instruments. And we think, I am thinking, yes? I am having a mood, yes? Or I haven't done anything today, yes? Therefore, people are said, I haven't done anything today, because people tend to relate, yes, a doing or not doing to themselves, like if they're doers. But if from divinity, at the moment, nothing comes out, there is no will, or it's not even a will, nothing comes out that would like to be manifested as walking, as drinking, as painting. Nothing will come out. It's not that we were taught that we are lazy or we're not doing enough, yes? But this is nonsense. It comes from this infinite, yes? Infinite just wants to manifest different or infinite ways of manifestations, and Cindy will sit next to the piano, and Fernando will bake a bread, and Abigail will sew or will stitch a beautiful dress, and Jill will sit next to the canvas and she will paint a beautiful picture or painting, because it comes from divinity, like the wind. Yeah, maybe. And it's just like a wind that goes through the flute. But the flute is Fernando, the flute is Cindy, the flute is Abigail, the flute is Jill. And sometimes there's music going on through the flute, and sometimes singing. But we are not private thinkers. We are incapable of thinking. We are incapable of singing, of playing, of walking, of drinking at all. Unless if it comes from this infinite divinity, I don't know how to call it in what way, it doesn't matter now. Unless it comes from the source. Fernando will not walk in his home to make a cup of coffee or a tea mate if it will not stream through him to walk and to make it. A will, a need, he is thirsty or something. He will not do anything. And people think they have a bad mood. I didn't do anything today. Some people, they speak about it. I haven't done anything. I'm not fruitful. Yes? Nothing has been manifested through me. Outcomes, results. Yes? Guess what? If nothing comes out, so it should be. Because we are not the makers. We are not the creators. We are not the singers. We are not the musicians. We are not the politicians. We are not the magicians. We're not. This is how it is. And it's quite relieving. Because if in some moment or some way, something will want to come out, to be manifested in walking, in talking, in moving, in painting, playing, baking, and so on, drinking, it will come out. Yes? So we are not doing anything. Because people think usually they sit at home and they think to themselves, they might read or watch a movie or whatever they do, and they think to themselves that they think, it's very common a phenomenon, that people think and they think that they are capable of thinking and they're getting nuts or whatever from their closed room thinking. But we are not the thinkers. We are not the thinkers. There's thinking going on all the time. Yes, but nobody owns their capability of thinking. This is how infinite life is. Some kind of bubbling, and then there's a manifestation. Sometimes when you see cartoons, or not just cartoons, you can see how they speed the camera very fast, and suddenly you see the tree that every day looks to you very bored and without leaves, and sometimes the tree looks sad or bare in the winter. If you accelerate the stills, suddenly you can see the tree is like sending its arms, its branches, sends leaves and flowers, and because it's very fast, you accelerate it. So even, Jill, when it seems to you that you're unproductive, not doing anything, yes, this is what the narration will go for. There is life. Yes, there is life in still. And there is life in motion. Yes, there is life in still, and there is life in motion. When it is in motion, it's a manifestation of something that would like to be manifested. Questions? Cindy, Fernando, Abigail, Jill, does it answer your question? Jill, you can unmute and speak.
Yes, it continues to kind of build on the clarity that I'm getting over time.
We are in, Yes, yeah. Yes, please continue. It's interesting because we were speaking about this before we started here. I was speaking about this at home. Yes, please say.
Because I have always been just obsessed with, I guess, what my thinking entails. It is a huge relief that that isn't, those aren't my thoughts. And so I noticed that lately it's like, okay, I'm that has nothing to do with me. I don't even know what I'm thinking about that for. And so it is a great relief. It's but I still have things that come to me. Yeah, it helps. I just want to say,
yeah, all the time, all the time. Thank you, Jill. All the time, things are, coming. Yes, it's coming all the time, coming like the river is coming. And different ways, but we are not thinkers. It's not under our control, domain, judgments. We are not to judge what is coming. Just how what is coming is coming like a dream. We go to sleep, and then after a while, there's like moving pictures, such a scenario, like a movie. We wake up from a dream, we'd be shocked. And it's not in our control. It's not a dream and not whatever comes to us in life, you know. It's not in our control. Yes, Cindy? Can you unmute and speak, please? Yes.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good morning. I was going to ask Jill more about the verse that you were kind of pondering in Proverbs. Why do you think it is something you're pondering? Does it resonate with you? Do you have like an experience, maybe past or current, that you feel like it resonates with? I find it very interesting, and I wondered.
Yes, Jill?
Okay. Hi, Cindy. Yes. How are you?
Good, good.
I do. Up until coming to this class, somebody had told me that I had what's called obsessive compulsive thinking. So I couldn't turn my thinking off. I would be thinking about things even before I wake up, and it would like consume my day. And so as time has gone on in here, then it's definitely slowed down, and I'm able to, you know, just kind of tell myself, yeah, that's not my thoughts. I'm not thinking that, or, you know, just have a little bit more peace. But this particular scripture I've always heard, like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so I was just lately kind of trying to relate that to, you know, is this what is dictating some of the things that still go on in my life, you know? Is there an opportunity for me to change the course of my life based off of what I'm allowing myself to think or not think? And so that's kind of how I ended up, you know, going through that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think I have the wrong scripture. Yeah, confusing myself. The one that I posted, that's not the one. That's not the one you're thinking of, is it? Or did you just bring in the as a man thinks in his heart?
Well, I had went and looked up Proverbs 23:7. Let's see.
Okay.
Maybe I have the wrong scripture. Yeah, I have Proverbs chapter 3. Number seven.
Three or 23,
Jill? I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's try and bring it. Tell me if this is what you aim. 1 second, yeah. This is a complete link. I'm not sure. Is it this? Check it out if this is what you meant.
Proverbs 23:7. Or as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Yeah, that's the one I had got it off of. The other one I had got off of, is it Mishan Mamre? Mamre?
This is what you meant?
Yeah, so but
that's the scripture. But you were saying something from your heart before we opened the scripture. You were saying something that if I can change my thought, yes, I can change my life.
Because even, I mean, because there's still things that happen that makes, for me, life kind of difficult. And so I'm pretty sure that it probably has a lot to do with the way that I think or the way that I've thought. And, you know, if I could grasp this and let go of a lot of things, then I would think that it could just change the course. So it wouldn't be like a disruptive life or like a sad life or anything, even though I know that this is my brain talking. I would like to be free of some of the things that the ways that I think that causes my life, I feel like to be difficult. If that makes sense, that may not make sense.
Yes, Cindy, please say what you want to say. Yes.
Well, you know, the first thing is that I am on Chabad.org. The verses that I sent are Proverbs 23, 6, and 7. And, you know, it's interesting because I did not realize that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think it's translated really poorly, because what I'm reading here is in verse 6, it says, do not dine upon the bread of a stingy person and do not desire his delicacies, for it is as though it poured gall into his friend. So is he. He will tell you to eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. And so it's really, to me, these couple verses are talking about beware kind of the stingy person who may act as though they're giving or they're helpful. But once you kind of take that bait, it will not feel good inside, because his heart was not true. It was, you know, maybe to get something out of you or to trap you or something like that. And so to me, it feels like we may have a bad translation, and that something that feels so heavy, like, oh, as a man thinks, so is he. But it's really not saying that in these verses. And also just, it puts so much pressure on us. And I think about just the roads that we walk, sometimes the thoughts that come or the circumstances that kind of relate to the thoughts seem so hard to get through, but it's just a process, a path that will eventually move, as you know, like the dam sort of gives way to something else, a new place, a new direction. Even and the dams can be really strong, really fortified, generations and generations and generations. And even like this, maybe wrong interpretations of the scripture, or even just flat out not even correct in the translation. So it's good to, but Eddie, maybe you could say more about if it's translated well or not, because it doesn't seem to be translated well from what I'm reading, but I'm not the expert, so.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. And as you said, those the verses that are connected to each other, do not sit and do not eat with someone who has, like, let's say, bad influence and his heart is not vast, yes? And people with their, when they're not true, it is affecting, yes? It's like, don't be next to people that this is their influence, yes? And the question that Jill asked before about maybe I can change the thought and I can change my life and so on. This presumption comes from that we are the makers of our lives. And it's not true. We are not the makers of our lives. What has to come will come. What has to appear will appear. What has to be manifested will be manifested. If person, let's say person, but let's say, let's speak in terms of colors. If red has to meet blue, he will meet blue. If blue has to meet green, he will meet green in any scenarios that we even now cannot imagine. Yes? And to think that we can change the course of life is to play God. Because what does it mean? Let's open it. What does it mean? Let's be frank about it, and everybody can participate. What does it mean that one can change the course of his life or his, let's say, destiny? What does it mean?
I think that it would mean that you would, you know, be the kind of like the God of your life. And yeah, definitely. I'm not trying to really change my myself. But I do like hearing the message that we're not the thinkers, because I would rather just go and take a back seat and just learn how to be an observer, and as opposed to living my life the way that I lived my life for so long. And so, yeah, I would think that, you know, that is playing like you're a god of your own life or something. I'm sorry.
This is one aspect. Another aspect is, let's look at it mathematically. What does it mean? Yes. What does it mean that... Just take one, you know, let's take even a figure from a cartoon. Any kind of figure that wants to change its life, wants to lead its life for a better future, for a better present, and so on. So this one presumes that it can play chess on the board called life, make different steps, maneuvers to gain, to come to a better position. But this thinker, or this one that this thought is coming to him, does not take one thing into one component into the thought that there is a whole world. Many, we are not moving here alone. There's a great compositions, not just between people, the seasons, the ocean, the birds. It's one. If someone comes with this thought that maybe through let's say, few chess movement on the board of my life, I can benefit my position. Good luck with it. Because not just playing God, this is, it's just to assume that this one is a single player in the world. Do you understand the depths of it? Just take a bit back. Do you understand what does it this mean?
It's like, to me, it's like what Cindy just said. It's just a heavy burden to carry. Because then, you know, everything that has to do with your life or, you know, anybody who's related or in relationship with you, it's a burden for everybody.
Jill, first of all, there is not such a thing, your life. There isn't such a term, your life. There isn't. There isn't Cindy's life. There isn't Abigail's life, Fernando's life, and so on. There isn't. There's just life. This is first of all. Divinity just lives forever. And nobody can play here chess. Do you understand the meaning of it? It's not just to remove from your back or from your shoulder or from your head a great burden. This is one thing which is little in relation to what is standing on the other side of the scale. How can someone even make a move or a thought by himself or herself and think that he thought or his move among 8.2 billion people, planets, galaxies can change something? Do you understand? First of all, like Cindy said, to sit in the back seat like a baby's in his booster, it's a great relief. I agree, because this is what is it about. Sit on the back seat, put your belt, and you're not the pilot. And relieve the burden from your head, from your shoulders, from the stories that you're telling to yourself, because this is what everybody does all the time. It's a lie, it's a burden. Mathematically, it's impossible. Philosophically, it's ignorance. Why? Why this is ignorance, Fernando, if you can speak? Why is it ignorance? Why? We don't have a free choice. To think that we can change, that we are capable, first of all, we're not capable of thinking, we are not capable of doing anything. To think that we can change the course of history, story, this is it, because this is what it boils down to. There are many stories, but this is something that can, in a way, set the tone clear on this part of the conversation. Fernando, you can unmute and speak or even write whatever. Abigail, Cindy, feel free to speak. Just a story that in a way beautifully portrayed this part of the conversation that happened in history. In the Second World War, there was a scholar that his field was like Kabbalistic writing, Hebrew writing. Fernando might heard the name Gershom Scholem. He already lived in Israel. Yes, when the war happened, 39 to 45, all over the world, he was already not in Europe, he was in Israel. And not just that was a war all over the world, there was the Holocaust. People were exterminating other people, sending them into different kinds of death paths, in the ovens, in the furnace, and in the forest, and in death march, God knows, many, many ways. There was a massive killings of millions. It was like industrial killing, yes. Not even a massacre, industrial engineered killing. And at some point when people understood it and spoke to each other, they asked themselves how to stop it, because there is the course, let's say, yes, yes. So the states, the sovereign states, the allies they were fighting, Britain, France, Italy, the US, yes, were fighting it with what they had, with airplanes, with U-boats, with navies, just... This is the course of the armies of all over the world. And the armies were fighting armies. Yes, this is the let's say in a war, the state or the defense or whoever makes decision, it's just armies against armies. Yes, the armies of the free liberal world fought against the German Nazis. It's army against army, but in a way, in the back door, they were like killing millions, like in an industrial way. But the army, as he fights the aim of the army, has to first defeat the German army. This is what's happening in a way on the back door, as happens to civilians, so to speak. Why do I open it? When people understood that this is what is happening, because the war has many faces, but this one has two. It was armies against armies with uniforms and so on. And there was what happening in the backdoor, exterminations of populations in masses and millions. When people understood that this is what is happening, they understood there is a different frontier. The armies and politics is one thing. What happening to people in the backdoor is another frontier. So they came to Sholem. They came to his house in Jerusalem, and they sat in his kitchen. It was a very little tiny house, two rooms in Jerusalem. And they asked him, do you have some kind of a words that you can say something in Hebrew? You are devoted in your research. You have, he dealt with linguistics. He had the knowledge of many, many languages and mathematics as well. Can you say a few words? Can you write something on a paper that can change the course of history? Do you understand the question that they come with to Gershom Sholem? Do you understand the question or the request? Cindy, do you understand? Jill, Fernando, do you understand the request from Gershom Sholem? Fernando, do you understand the request? Abigail, do you can unmute and speak as well. Not yet. Fernando, can you unmute and speak? Abigail, can you unmute and speak? When people understood that there is a massive engineer killing of people, yes, I understand. When people understood that armies are fighting against armies, and this is, let's say, this is the professions, the professionals, armies, this is what they are for, to fight army against army. But they wanted to stop the killing of humans in the back door. Let's say the front door is army against army. Let's say France against Germany, Britain against Germany, US against Germany. But in the back door, they were killing millions of people called Holocaust, yes? And they want to stop the killing, the massive killing. They did not know where to act, in front of whom to speak, because politics is politics. So they came to Gershom Scholem. He was a scholar sitting in Jerusalem, and asked him if he has some kind, let it make it brutal. Do you have a spell? Can you say a verse, a sentence, few words in any language? You are so educated in mathematics, in linguistics, in history. From your catalog of knowledge that you have in front of you, do you have any verse, any saying, any sentence, any book that can stop the mass killing of millions? This is the request. Do you understand what people come and ask him? Now do you understand? Yes. Can you stop it? Say something, few words. You say, abracadabra, I shall create as I speak. Give us an abracadabra. Give us a spell. Yes? Give us something, because we have nothing. Millions are being killed every day, and nobody can stop it, not even the armies, because they're fighting the army, tanks against tanks, airplanes against airplanes, but civilians are being exterminated. So they came to his kitchen at night in Jerusalem. It was a very, very cold night. And they asked him, give us a verse, give us a word. Just stop it. Give us something, a spell that you can say the spell in your lips and then kill Hitler on spot. And everything will stop. This was the request. What did he answer? Do you know? Jill, what did he say? Cindy, come up with something. Be creative. What did he say, according to what we speak here in class? What could have been his answer to this request? You can unmute and speak. Jill?
I would think that he would say that it was impossible for him because he's not God. He can't stop that.
Yes. Yes, he said something very close. He said, I cannot intervene the course of history. And the course of history of what is happening, this is the will of the infinite. So nobody can stop it, not just me. Yes? Nobody, this is how it is. This is reality. Yes. This is what he said. Yes. It comes from a deep understanding or convincing or believing that who we are, this is it's as horrible as it is sound. As horrible, millions are being executed, engineered to death until the last curl glasses. Yes? Yes. Nobody can stop it. And he was honest to say, nobody can stop the course of it. This is what is coming. This is what is coming in the pipe. This is what, and he knows, he came from Germany. He was born in Germany. He left Germany. He felt the wind there. Therefore, he left and came. Of course, someone like him would like to save people, but there was deep understanding. Yes? No amount of anxiety could change the course of history. Excellent. Nobody can change it, but he was honest enough to say it's impossible to change the course of history. So this is just a story or a parallel, let's say, conversation. No one can change the course of history. Because what does it mean to change the course of history? What does it mean mathematically or in terms of organizations? What does it mean to change the course of history? What does it mean? Okay, playing God. Okay, what does it mean in the field? What does it mean? to change so many people from the direction, from birth to death. Do you understand? And you want to change your life? Many workshops all over the world offered people the candy solution. If you make this, workshop, retreat, summer camp, you will have life-changing events. And people pay a lot. They go to all kinds of workshops, weekends, churches, retreats, summer camp, winter camp. Yes, in the expectation that their life will change, their life will move like a train from this rail to that rail. But this is only, entertainment to the brain. They're just entertaining themselves, you know, because changes does not come from us. We are incapable of changing anything. Just what? Release the umbrics. You know? We are not the doers. We are not the cause of our being here. We did not put ourselves here. Yes, we cannot do anything. Can. Jill, you can have a lot of calm and relief. And you can also, with Cindy, yes, come together and make these conversations together. That it will finally land that we are not the doers. Of course, this is how the world is working. This is how it is. This constant thinking. This is how life is going and expands through this, let's say, call it mechanism. But it's not attributed to us. It is happening through the tree. Suddenly the tree. We think that we are so different than the tree. But the tree suddenly sends its branches out, lengthening its branches, and then the leaves are going out from the lengths and so, and the flowers, and then comes the fruit. Is the tree in charge? And this is the question. Don't think about yourself. First of all, it does not exist. Let's start from this. Is the tree in charge of which one of his branch will go south? Hello, Jill, can you hear? Yes, thank you. Maybe the token, yes. Thank you. Did you hear the question about the tree? Did you hear the sentence about the tree? Look at the tree, if you have a tree in the garden or next by. Yes. Dakota religion. The trees have the same religion as us.
Yeah.
Yes. The tree. Is the tree in charge of sending its branches, the roots that are deepened, the relation of the tree's roots with other neighboring roots, with the ants, with the bugs, with the butterfly, with the air? With the rain, with the sun. It just goes through the tree. Life is moving through the tree, through the roots, through the branches, through the fruits, through the leaves. It's easy for us to see this about the tree because the tree, so to speak, is just plant and does not move. In the same manner, we are not in charge. We are not deciding. Yes, who? It is very, very interesting for us to see the tree and to say he is not in what he. It's not in charge. What is happening from nature? Yes, for us the same. Are you in charge of the breathing mechanism, Jill? It just happens. Luckily, nobody asks us. Let's sit in a meeting in the morning, yes, directory, and let's give ourselves command to breathe. Nobody would do this. Nobody would wake up to this executive meeting. Luckily, this is what is breathing, just happening, yes? So as breathing is happening without us deciding upon it, luckily, so the thought is also happening all the time or coming, like in the tree, yes? But this is not your life. Nobody has here private life, though if he might have a private name, we don't have private lives at all. What we consider as private lives is when the brain claims ownership on the thoughts and the event and sorts them in a way that says, okay, this five at kindergarten, this is my life. When you sort your CV, the list of the dates upon it, this is my life. This is what the brain does. Yes? But nobody has a private life. The tree serves. The tree, by being a tree, serves life. There's a filtering, yes? It filters the air, the tree gives fruit. If it's a tree that gives fruit, the tree does not live for itself. The ants in the roots of the tree, they don't live for themselves. Can you hear now, Jill? Jill, Fernando, can you hear? Very well. Maybe the talking is off. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, relief. We are not the makers of our lives. We are not the doers. We did not put ourselves here on a rock or on a rail or on a ride. How do you say? On a road or on a rail or on the way to somewhere. Yes, this is a thought that you can forget from it. Just let it be. You're breathing, drinking, everything is okay. Everything is just okay. And maybe you would like to communicate to Cindy, to Abigail here in the channel. Helps. Yes, Cindy, funny enough, I read an article about the daughter suing her parents because she has decided she didn't want to. That's cool. That's cool. We are not in charge. We are not in charge. And we are not the children also of the parents. This is something that for us is very, very awkward to accept. But we can expand about it in the next session. Yes? Thank you so much for being with us today. Shabbat Shalom. And hope to see you here on Monday at the same time. And you can always communicate through all the channels of Discord. And if you want to make like whatever, you're all most invited. Toda and Shabbat Shalom.